Hello, and welcome to God's Word. I was listening to a song recently, and I thought that would be a good sermon for this weekend when the U.S. celebrates all of those who have gone before to make sure that our freedoms are available to all. The reason they are is because people have gone and fought for our freedom for years. But let's look at a different freedom. The song is "Why Me, Lord?" and goes, by the way, I'm not going to sing for you. You don't want to hear me sing. "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it so. Help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you so, help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand. Tell me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you." And the chorus repeats. So, let's look at the idea of remembering what Jesus has done for us. Let's start it off with the Lord's promise. In 2 Peter 3, verse 9, the Lord's promise in 2 Peter 3, 9, the Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. So first of all, he's been patient with us. Many times when we didn't deserve patience, he's been patient. And if you don't know him, he's still patient, not wanting you to perish. In John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, it tells us that he goes to prepare a place for us. John chapter 14, verses 1 through 4, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Jesus has worked with God to prepare a place for us, to prepare a promise to allow us to get to the place they've created. But this was not done without tears and suffering. Matthew 26, verse 39. Matthew 26, verse 39 is Jesus' prayer. Going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me." If that is where this verse ended, then we would not have the rest of the story that we've already talked about. No, Jesus, in his time of pain and suffering, said, "Not yet as I will, but as you will." That is the last part of Matthew 26, 39. In Matthew 27, starting in verse 11, we will be looking at many different parts of the last day of Jesus' life. First of all, Matthew 27, 11 through 14, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Matthew 27, verses 11 through 14. Meanwhile, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You have said so." When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. In Matthew 27, verse 15 through 23, we find that there is a governor's custom at the festival. Matthew 27, verses 15 through 23. "Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At that time they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, 'Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?' For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting on the judge's seat, his wife sent him this message, 'Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him.' But the chief priests and elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. 'Which of the two do you want me to release to you?' asked the governor. 'Barabbas,' they answered. 'What shall I do then with Jesus who is called the Messiah?' Pilate asked. They all answered, 'Crucify him!' 'Why? What crime has he committed?' asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, crucify him. Jesus suffered a trial. Jesus suffered being sentenced to death. And as Pilate said, why? What crime has he committed? Matthew 27, verses 24 through 26. Matthew 27, verses 24 through 26, talks of the innocent blood and reads, when Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but instead an uproar was started, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. I am innocent of this man's blood, he said. It is your responsibility. All the people answered, his blood is on us and on our children. Then he released Barabbas to them. But he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. We find, though, that in the next verses, 27 through 31 of the book of Matthew 27, 27th chapter, Matthew 27, 27 through 31, instead of going straight to the to be crucified, Jesus was mocked first. Because Matthew 27, 27 through 31 reads, then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns, a crown of thorns, and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him. It was not enough that he was put on trial, sentenced to be crucified, and as we see later, was crucified. They had to mock him in between. He had to be humiliated. All for us. Matthew chapter 27, verses 32 to 37. This is when the Jews thought it was all over. They thought this was the end, no more problem. They were wrong. As they were going out, they met a man from Cyrene named Simon, and they forced him to carry the cross. They came to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. There they offered Jesus wine to drink mixed with gall. But after tasting it, he refused to drink it. When they had crucified him, they divided up his clothes by casting lots. And sitting down, they kept watch over him there. Above his head, they placed the written charge against him: "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." Jesus had a message for them. In verses 38 through 44 of Matthew 27, he found that he was not alone being crucified, that there was one on his right and one on his left. Criminals that were being crucified. Matthew 27, verse 38 through 44. This version calls them the two rebels. And it reads, "Two rebels were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. Come down from the cross if you are the Son of God.' In the same way, the chief priests, the teachers of law, and the elders mocked him. 'He saved others,' they said, 'but he cannot save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him come down now from the cross, and we will believe in him.' He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he wants him. For he said, 'I am the Son of God.' In the same way, the rebels who were crucified with him also heaped insults on him." Matthew 27, 45 through 56. From noon until 3 PM, darkness came over all the land. About 3 PM, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, and the tombs broke open. The bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and explained, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for his needs. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. All of this was done on Friday preceding the Passover, the Sabbath, excuse me, the Sabbath. And the Sabbath starts at sundown on Friday. So Jesus had to be buried before sundown on Friday, because the Jews were not allowed to do anything from Friday at sundown to Saturday at sundown. That was their day of rest. So in Matthew chapter 27, 57 through 61, Matthew 27, 57 through 61, we find that as evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. A new tomb, one that has never been used before. And this body is placed there without the preparation that is needed to bury a body. Today we call it embalming. There they put spices and other natural herbs into the body, on the body, to help it to not rot as bad or not smell as bad, but to prepare it for the sealing of the tomb. So far, the tomb has not been sealed. The stone has been rolled in front. But from what I understand, there's more to sealing than that. Let's read further in Matthew 27, 62 through 66. Matthew 27, 62 through the end of the chapter, which is 66. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and the Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' So give the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first." "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting a guard. from what they've said there, they're not expecting it to be a permanent closing of the tomb. It says that they are going to make the tomb secure until the third day. That's still a temporary sealing. Now, all of this was talked about hundreds of years earlier. And it is good to read to remember what Jesus went through. Isaiah 27, verses 1 through 12. Isaiah chapter 27, verses 1 through 12. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hide their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions, and he was cursed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. Excuse me, let me try that again. For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Though he had no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. After he has suffered, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great, and he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. So while we remember those who have gone before us to fight for our freedoms, to fight to keep us safe, to help us in all the ways on this earth, let us remember that there was one who came and gave his life as an offering for sin, so that we might have everlasting life if we choose to follow him, to follow God, and be faithful unto death. Following this message, we're going to have an additional song tonight, which is, Why Me, Lord? Thank you, and may God bring you back to us next week.